Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God. Lord, we thank you for another Lord's Day that we can be found in thy house this morning to render our worship and our praise unto you. For thou art a great God, a loving Heavenly Father, who guideth our footsteps, who redeemeth our life and our souls out of the depths of sin to the realms of heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We thank you for all the youths you have brought into thy house to listen to your word, and we thank you for the fellowship in Christ we have one with another. We thank you how you have seen all the youths through almost three semesters of their school. We thank you for granting them strength and wisdom even as they study, and also the friends that you have given them that they may witness for you in school, for the CCAs that they can participate in, that they may be the salt and light of the world. We also thank you for the life that you give us, and we pray for those who are maybe unwell as they prepare for their exams. We restore them back to health. We strengthen their bodies, give them a clear mind, a heart that trusts in you, that the peace of God may abide in their heart and keep their minds through Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that you help them even through this time of exam preparation to lean on you and not on their own understanding in all their ways they may acknowledge you, and that you may direct their hearts. We also thank you for this home of Brother Fred and Sister Christina and their family. Thank you for blessing this home, the gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless this home and this family, that they may continue to serve you faithfully and to be a witness for you even in this neighborhood. Father in heaven, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for bringing us here safely. And even as our bodies and our minds may be tired physically from a long day, but yet we rejoice because we are found in the things of God. And we pray, Lord, that even from through thy word, that it will refresh our souls, refresh our spirits and our minds, even as we consider thy word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher and guide to help us, for those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to grow spiritually. And for those who are still outside thy kingdom, Lord, that you will be gracious and merciful, that they will come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So be with me, even help me to share your word clearly and accurately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, good afternoon. Today, we are going to consider the topic of relating to the opposite gender. And it ends with a question mark. Relating to the opposite gender. The word relating comes from the word relate. And from the word relate, we have relationship. And the way we relate one to another depends on the relationship that we are in. For example, you relate differently to your peers, your friends. And also when you knock on the principal's office, you relate to your principal also differently because you have a different relationship. You are a student and she's a principal. And with your friends, you are a friend and we are all friends. And you know, when you speak with someone who is younger, you have a relationship as the elder in that relationship. And when you speak to your parents, you are your child and your parents are the father and the mother respectively. You know, so there's a pattern of relating one to another based on the relationships that we have. And even God, when he has told us how we are to relate to God, God did not leave us alone to say, well, you can come to relate to me and worship me in any way that you like. You can offer any sort of sacrifice in any form that you like. God gave us specific commandments and instructions how we relate to God. And God did not also leave us alone to relate one to another. He gave us specific instructions how to relate one to another. And he also describes to us the different types of relationships we are to conduct ourselves in You know, for example, we are all citizens of Singapore. Maybe some of you are citizens of Malaysia or from Australia or whatever, right? But you see, God has even this relationship with this relation we have with our government that He has placed over us, right? To submit to the authority of governments, of kings, of rulers, because they are all ordained of God. And God also gives us instructions how we relate one to another in the workplace as employers and employees. You know, some of us may have worked part time, so we are the employee and we are responsible to our employer. And how about the home? In the home also, God has given us specific guidelines and instructions how we are to relate one to another. In your home, you are not the mother, neither you are the father. You are the daughter or the son. You are the brother or the sister. Right? So God tells us how we are to relate to our parents. And He also instructs our parents how our parents are to relate to us. And even in the church, God also gives us specific examples how the church is to be governed, to be ruled, and how people are to relate one to another in the church. So today we consider a very specific topic of relating to the opposite gender. The opposite gender, even in a marriage, there's a husband and wife. In parents, you relate probably a little differently to your mother and to your father. At least, I'm not very sure about you, but at least my sons, they do a little bit differently when they relate to me and my wife. Sometimes I'm a little envious why they are more emotional with my wife. And the Chinese word called teh. So they are this age where they can be teh, right? Yeah. But they know that I'm a bit more serious compared to my wife. And they can snuggle up to her. Yeah. So a little different, right? And you know, some of you have brothers and sisters. The way you relate to your sister and the way you relate to your father also different because of genders. And amongst here, you have friends. And always during teens or YF, you always see a gender divide. Right? It's like the Red Sea, like that. Men on one side, the ladies on one side. Right? So, you know, maybe some of you all came today and you will say, wow, relating to the opposite gender. Today we are going to have a BGR workshop. How to be gentlemanly or ladylike, or how to have a relationship. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but today it is not a social etiquette course. Yeah, we are going to learn about the specific and wonderful roles of men and women that God has created, and then how this affects how we relate one to another of the opposite gender. So first, you know, in the passage that we have read today, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible here says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So the Bible is very clear. There is no doubt that God created man. And here the Bible tells us how God created man. First, in verse 26, God said, "Let us." It reveals to us the Trinity. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And what is He to do? To have dominion over the fish, the birds, the cattle, and the earth, and every creeping thing upon the earth. So God made man in His own image. And you know, the Bible concluded in verse 31 of the same chapter, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was good." No, it was very good. If you notice in the preceding days, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, for example, day 4, you read in verse 18, "And God saw that it was good." And on the fifth day, in verse 21, And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth waters, brought forth abundantly after their kind, and winged far after his kind. God saw that it was good. And on the sixth day, verse 25, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, God saw that it was good. And then on the, it was after the creation of man, God said that it was very good. And he concluded, and the morning and the evening were the sixth day. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? You know, we reflect the image of God. What does that mean? We have you might have heard of it or read of it. We have the communicable attributes of God. What does it mean? There is, man is wise in a certain way. There is, man can be holy in a certain way. There is justice in a certain way. When you, even sometimes, when you see a small cat and someone abusing the cat, right? You may feel a sense of injustice. How come you whack an animal that is defenseless? But you feel injustice within you. And that is a form of justice. And where did this justice come from? Because God is a just God. And that is why, if we are made in God's image, we have a form of justice also. And there are some things that we do are good, right? For example, we help one another, right? We are holy. We reflect the image of God in us. So, men and women, we are all made in the image of God. But the way we were created, the Bible describes it differently. In chapter 2, verse 7, we turn there, you will see how man, how God made man. In verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It shows us three things. We were made from the dust of the earth. God gave us the breath of life, and we have a soul, a living soul. And therefore, we are physical. Therefore, we are spiritual, because God made our body from the dust of the earth. God gave us life, a soul, a living soul. And we are eternal. Physical, spiritual, and eternal. So therefore, when man fell, we experience physical death, we experience spiritual death, and we experience eternal death. Isn't it? This is how God described the creation of man. And then it goes on in verse 21. God is, the Bible tells us how woman was created. In chapter 2, verse 21, the Bible says here, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. So you see, why did God create woman? Anyone? Man was created first, right? And then God created woman. Why? Why did God create woman? Why don't we ask a girl? Suzanne, why did God create woman? Very important question, because then you will know what's your, why God created woman, right? Very good, yes. In verse 18, right, the answer God gives us. In verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. You know, John Calvin phrased this very well. He said, woman was made out of a rib of the side of man, not made out of his head, to rule over him, not out of his feet, to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side, to be equal with him, under his arm, not armpit, under his arm, to be protected, and near his heart, to be loved. Right? So it's very poignant, it's very interesting how particular God had chosen the rib out of the side of Adam. And literally, woman means from man, or out of man. Yeah? So you see, God created man and woman similarly. We are all made in the image of God. But we are created differently. Man was created from the dust of the earth. God breathed into us the breath of life and made us a living soul. And how did God create woman? He took a rib out of Adam and fashioned a woman. And therefore, woman is out of a man. Yeah? And you know, the way we are created reflects a difference in function. So first, we have considered how God created creation. Now secondly, we consider function. Let me ask you a question. You know, in medicine, there are three most painful things that man or woman, a man can. There are three most painful things men in general can experience. What are the three things? Yes, action.
Arguments.
Okay, we're talking about physical pain, not emotional pain. arguments can be very painful.
You mean like men as in male or like...
No, men in general, mankind.
Could you agree?
Yes. Anyone? What's the painful pain? Most painful pain. Three most painful pain. Giving birth? Yes, the woman will always say, giving birth, most painful. You're right, that's one. I tell you the other two. Not so common for you all to know at this age, but when you grow older, the aches and pains you will know. Number two, it is urinary stones. Very, very painful. There are stones in your urine, your bladder, your kidney. It is terrible. Right? It will make any muscle man cringe in pain. All his muscles are useless. Okay? The third one is gout. Gout is very, very painful. Gout is they are called gout crystals or uric acid crystals that crystallize. You know chemistry? The crystals crystallize in your joints and your joints become swollen. You can go and Google later, gout. And you can look at all the images of all the joints. Very painful. It was said that, some commentators said that, you know the thorn in Paul's flesh that Paul described, Corinthians. He said perhaps it was gout because it was so painful. It was so, so painful. Right? So women will always say, out of these three, childbirth, most painful. I contribute a lot to society. Not I, sorry. They will say, women will say, I contribute a lot to mankind. You see, without me, all of you will not come out. Right? Then men will say, well, we work at home, we work out, and then we come home, we have to take care of the family also. But we've got so many responsibilities, right? You know, we are very important. Our function, we all want to be important. Even the disciples, even in the kingdom of heaven, they were also arguing, who is the greatest? They asked the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. Who amongst us will be the greatest in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven? Who will be the greatest? Who will be the greatest? Who is of greater value? Right. You know, we always place value in what a person does, or what a person can do, or how much money a person can make, or how much contributions a person can contribute to society, or to things in to this world in general. And therefore, sometimes we forget that God had created us differently, and God had set a pattern to govern our relationship and our roles. I want to turn you to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as a second passage for our consideration, as we consider function. So first, we have considered creation, how God created in the image of God, and how God created man and woman. And now we will read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the first 9 verses. I will read and you just follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes here, the Bible tells us, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying
having his head covered, dishonoreth his genitive.
But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one, as if she was shaven.
For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered.
For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man.
Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for man. We thank God for this portion of scripture which shows us the functional hierarchy of man and woman. You notice in verse 3, the Bible here says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. It shows us the pattern of the functional hierarchy between man and woman, and Paul uses the example of the Godhead. Yeah? The Godhead. The Father is the Son, and the Son is the Holy Spirit, right? 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 No, obviously not. The Father is the Father, the Son is the Son, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. But they're all God. Right there. The Father is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not God. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. But they are God. What does it mean? Essentially, in their essence, they are God. Immortal, invisible, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. Right? But they have different function. Are they God? Yes, they are God. But the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father. So they are different. But they are different not in essence. They are all God. But they are different in function. You know, in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ says, my Father is greater than I. Then some people will say, see, Jesus Christ says that my Father is greater than I. So therefore, he is lower class. He's the second God. God the Father is God. He said, my Father is greater than I. And my Father sent me. Father and Son, my Father greater. And that's how they reason. Right? But it is not true, we know. Because we know that they are all equal in essence. They are all God. But their function is different. God the Father elects. God the Son comes to this earth to die for us. And the Holy Spirit convicts us. Like this work of salvation. And therefore, it is the same for men. It is the man who leads, the man who has a God has given authority, is the man of greater value in the sight of God. Does that mean that man first class, woman second class, children third class? No, it's not. We know this because we read in Galatians chapter 3. Let us turn to Galatians chapter 3 before we keep your finger at 1 Corinthians 11. But turn you to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 28. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. The Bible says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Before God's eyes, we are all the same. We are all the same, of equal value, equally precious in the sight of God. Male or female, there is no distinction. But in function, there is. There is in function, there is. God created woman to be a helpmeet. He did not create woman to be a co-leader. You know, sometimes, you know, when you have two very good people up for the position of whatever student council or president of some club in this. In your school, maybe chess club or something. Wow, these two very good. Yeah, cannot be one under the other. Okay, I make them co-president or co-chairman. Right? But God did not make woman co-chairman. God did not make woman a co-leader. God made woman subordinate to men. Yeah. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible tells us that every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Which means, God, men, we are supposed to lead, we are supposed to prophesy the ministry of the word of God. Having his head covered, you know, some churches like Brethren churches or Anglican churches, women when they go to church, they must wear a veil. Have you seen that? They must wear a veil. You know what's the significance? You know what's the significance of wearing a veil? When you wear a veil, means something's above your head, right? It is to remind them very didactically that they are under submission. They are to be subject to the authority. They are under, in submission to an authority that God has placed. And therefore, this was what it means to cover your head. It was a very didactic way. And therefore, also God used the example of woman hair and the hair on our head, right? You know, hair growth, there are three phases. Who studies biology? Johan, you study biology. You learn about hair, no? Kind of. How many phases are there? Yes, if you don't know. Very simple one. You must think very simply. I'll give you three choices. Two, three, or four. Two phases, three phases, or four phases. Two. Very close. There you go. One third chance to be correct. Now it's three phases. Okay, first you have the growth phase, so your hair will grow. Right? And then you have the rest phase, where you will rest. Second. And then you have the regression phase. You start to drop off. Right? All of us are in the growth phase. I hope I'm still in the growth phase. Maybe I'm in the rest phase. Right? Yeah. But I certainly know that our pastor is in the regression phase. Right? So we have the growth phase, we have the steady phase, and we have the regression phase. Right? I ask you, men, next time when we grow up, we all grow up, right? We will have a risk of running male pattern hair baldness. Right? Every time you look at our pastor, remember that we can have male pattern hair baldness, right? If it happens to any one of us males. But have you seen a female, a girl, a woman, elderly, who is like almost botak one? Never. Unless maybe they go for chemotherapy or there's some medical condition. But God gives, even in this natural creation, He shows us. And therefore He says, if your head is covered, it's a glory. But if men, if your head is, don't cover your head, right? Yeah. And woman must have your head covered because it reminds you of the role and function to submit under the authority of men. Yeah. And if you bring shame to your head, it is who's your head? It is men. Yeah. But if men bring shame to our head, who it is? It is Christ. And therefore, you see in verse 7. Verse 7, it says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Right? The in verse 3, we read that the head of every man is Christ. Right? So therefore, we reflect the glory of God, the image of God. But the woman is the glory of man. Yeah. So we see here that very clearly the difference in roles and functional hierarchy that God has given us. Yeah. And why? The Apostle Paul re-emphasizes again in verse 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. It reminds us of how woman was created out of man. Neither was the man created for the woman, right? The man was not created as a helpmeet to the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, nowadays, you also read of feminist movement, right? Women also can lah. We are also very good, right? Why must we submit and why must we be subordinate? Yeah, who says that submitting and subordinate is inferior? Well, it is the what the world tells us. If you are subordinate, if you are submit to somebody, you are inferior. Who tells us that? It is what God has pattern that instructed us. But the world tells us that if you submit, you are inferior. It is not. Because submission, humility, is a virtue. It is a virtue that God wants us. It is not weakness. It is not inferiority. But it is just submitting to the role that God has given us. You know, the world will tell you, well, you must have self-esteem. You must be confident in yourself. Self-esteem. And self-esteem is very good because it solves many of your problems. If you're not confident in yourself, it will solve all your problems in your life. It does not. And this is nonsense. Right? Because we must have Christ esteem and not self-esteem. Well, this is another topic. Right? But by implanting this notion that submission is inferior, is weakness, we are casting aside God's instruction of order and functional hierarchy. You know, sometimes when we are children, you say, well, next time I'm a parent, I know I want to do this. But then you see now when we are parents, you know, today during the morning message, our pastor reminded us also how as parents, sometimes we are derelict in teaching our children. We do not set good examples. We do not teach them well. But yet as children say, I want to be parent because I can do so. But yet as children, we do not want to obey. Yeah? And as husbands do not want to lead. So tiring. Always got to be the first up. I got to organize this. Everyone don't listen. I feel like a barking dog at home. Huh? And then the wife said, I want to lead. Right? The woman wants to usurp the husband. And the husband wants to relinquish his leadership. Right? When we are children, it's not time for us to be parents. We want to be parents. When it's now in time for us to be parents, say, I am so tired to lead. Just want to be children. Just follow our instructions. So simple. When we are a boss, my God, when we are employee, we say, well, the boss so mean, right? When we are boss, we want to say, well, you know, I want to be employee, don't need to think so much, right? Just go in at 8 o'clock, come out at 5 o'clock, and then get my money. You don't need to think about recession and all this, right? When we are citizen, we complain about the government. And then when we are government, we complain, salary not enough. The citizens not appreciative. When men is like that, we are never satisfied where God has put us and the roles that God has taught us to do. Yeah. So therefore, you know, the woman told to submit. Well, you want to lead, so therefore, they want to disrupt God's order, right? To prove, right? Even the LGBT. God says a man and a woman, like a function is the home. But well, you know, we have woman and woman, men and men. I have a patient. For confidentiality, I cannot say his name, right? So he was, he, right, came, and then he went to university. And then one day he came in. He had long hair, and he was wearing a dress, and he looked like a woman. I said, what happened to you? He said, oh, please call me blah 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 blah, another woman's name. And he had changed his identity on his IC, so they had to reprint a patient sticker. And he said he went to Bangkok. I don't know what they call it, he or she or whatever now. This person went to Bangkok for injections and for an operation for what they call a gender reassignment. And he had come back just 1 or 2 weeks ago. And actually when he came back, he came with a domestic helper because he was walking like that. Very awkward because he just had operation. I said, oh, having infection at the wound. I said, no, I don't want to examine. But I just give you antibiotics, and now you need to go to see the doctor who did it. I'm not trained to evaluate all these things. So this is horrendous. Right? We want to change what God has created and designed in us. Right? When we are men, we don't want to be, we want to be a woman. When we are women, we don't want to be, we want to be a man. We forgot that we are made in the image of God. Right? And you know, whatever God has called us to do, we must submit to God. You know, even if there are unreasonable teachers, unreasonable governments, remember that all our submission is unto the Lord. I want to share with you one verse which greatly encouraged me in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 verse 1. I'll read to you. Romans 13 verse 1. The Bible here says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The power that we are ordained of God. You see, everything that God has is ordained by God. Even the higher powers, even our parents, even our teachers, even our governments. When we complain against them, we are complaining against God. And as a woman, if we complain about a man, then we are complaining about the structure and the hierarchy that God has created. Now let us submit to the Lord, the will of God. It was perfect. It was very good as God has described. But because sin had tainted all these things, so we see how God had created, and God had also, so we see in creation, right? And secondly, we see the function, and now finally we come to the relation, right? Relation. So now we know how we were created. We know our function as men and women. But then we also must remember our role in these various relationships. As you grow older, maybe God willing, God will give you a life partner, a husband or wife. And then you must know your role as a husband. Prepare yourself so that when you can lead your wife and lead your family, and you will not be derelict. And as a lady, God gives you a husband, you must be prepared to submit to your husband. Remember, submission is in the will of God. It is not weakness. It is humility to accept the authority that God has placed in your life. If you cannot submit to the man that God has placed in your life, that you can see, how can you submit to and love a God that you cannot see? And that is what the Bible also tells us. As a friend to your friends, you see how do you see your role and your relation as you relate to your friends? It is very simple. Is this person a believer or an unbeliever? If this person is an unbeliever, my role to him, I must relate to him as the only outlet he may have to hear the gospel. If he is a believer, like all of you are, I hope, in this group, then what is my role? Your role is to build up one another so that you can prepare one another to do God's will in your life. Wherever in your life, whether it is in your studies, in your pursuit in your choice of education, in the future, in your life partner, in serving the Lord, right? As you serve in the community, some of you serve in the community. What is your role as you relate one to another in the community? Right? Help one another to fulfill God's will and God's purpose in one another's life. Encourage one another. You know, I serve also in the YF and in visitation ministry. And before the meetings, we always have a time of devotion, because before we serve the Lord, we must hear instruction from God's word. And the devotions are always rostered to the guys. Why? Perhaps you say, hey, this sister can speak very well, and she has a very good knowledge of the Bible. You know, this brother, he's not so eloquent like me. I always stutter, I know, and I'm very nervous when I see a group of crowd, even, you know, yeah, and my mind sometimes always blank out, so I have to write a lot of things. I know Preacher Joshua just wrote a few points. I think Reverend Fred only a few words. But I write a lot of things because I know my mind will go blank. Why don't get somebody, see this girl in her school, she's such a good public speaker and she knows the Bible so well. But that's not the point. Because this is not what God has ordained in a functional hierarchy. Right? Our purpose is not to determine the outcome. Our purpose is to trust. Our role is to trust and obey. God did not ask us to determine the outcome for Him. God said, this is your role. Trust and obey. We do not go down the path of least resistance just because, you know, so we do not just get the any best man or woman for the job. Not getting the job done, right? You must not see your when you serve in the teens com or wherever you serve serve the Lord. You must not see as a job done, just to get the job done. You must see how in doing I must obey the Lord. Perhaps it may be less efficient or time inefficient, But you see, your purpose is not to be the time efficient. The purpose is to serve the Lord with trust and obey. Right? It may take a longer time, it may take a more laborious, but it honors the Lord. And therefore, this is the path that we must take. So as we consider this relating to the opposite gender, I think we must see it as how God has instructed us in different relationships in our life. And we must also understand that we are created differently, and therefore we are created differently for our roles. Just like women are created for childbirth. I thank God I'm not a woman because I cannot imagine having to give birth and then having to struggle with a crying baby for how many years and then times three. And for you, some of you may come, for example, I think Brother Nathaniel, right, and Faith, you have four siblings, right, for your parents, three siblings, sorry, but to your parents times four. I'm times three already and I'm feeling so breathless each day, you know, and every time I see my wife handling my children, I really thank God for her. And you must thank God for your parents also, especially your Christian parents who bring you to church, who tell you, encourage you in the things of the Lord. You must thank the Lord for them. Yeah. So we are all made differently. Right? We must remember that we're all made differently, biologically, emotionally, and psychologically. Because our roles that God has for us are different. So as we relate one to another, we see ourselves as made in the image of God. Functionally, we have different roles. Therefore, when we relate one to another, we must help one another to do God's will in one another's life, so that God will be glorified in all our lives. So, I hope that you will consider the people around you, how you may be a channel of blessing and encouragement to them. Are there any questions that anyone may have, or any thoughts? No. Okay. Let us look at the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path, which shows us the way in which we ought to go in this dark and sinful world, which the light that you cast in the road ahead, that we may not fall or hurt ourselves or veer to the left or to the right. Help us that we may walk in the straight and narrow path, that we may meditate on thy word day and night, to observe, to do according to all that is written therein. For then we will know that thou will give us good success, good success in thy sight, according to your definition, and prosper our ways, that our soul may prosper, that we may be blessed, that thou will bless us with all spiritual blessings of the love of God, the peace of God, and the joy of the Lord. I pray for all these youths especially. I pray, I thank you how you bring them together. And I pray, Lord, that you will, as they grow up, develop strong biblical convictions upon your word, and that you will direct their paths, and they may bring glory to your name wherever you have called them to, as men and women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.